Hi, and welcome to the show. This is Patty Hartman, going to be talking today about the relationship between the Duke, John Wayne, and Dean Martin, and also about John and Red Buttons, and how we all know that the Duke was really loved, but really people doesn't really know about the man behind the camera as well. So stay tuned. One of the recollections of Uncle Phil, that there's two movies, actually three of John's, that is going to stick out in this segment. I'm going to be talking about Rio Bravo, Hatari, and The Longest Day. So we'll start off with Rio Bravo. John Wayne and Dean Martin had a very close relationship. Dean would have made many pictures, but his very first Western was Rio Bravo. They practically, from the moment they met at each other, were very close. John loved Dean's music to begin with. So when he actually got the part for Rio Bravo, you will see in Rio Bravo, now that you're, go watch it, you will see this chemistry between John and Dean. John, if he liked you and you were close to him, you were not just acting. It was like you were looking at two best friends talking. It wasn't acting. And I think that's what makes this picture unique. One of John's closest friends also was Ward Bond, was also in this movie, who would go on to play in Wagon Train, and John had a hand in that as well. John was asked about Ward in doing Rio Bravo, and he was thrilled. At first, when this picture was in the making, Ward Bond was going to play Dean Martin's part, but it just didn't fit. The reason that it didn't fit, because Ward just didn't look like he could play a drunk, and Dean could, because of all the acting and stuff that he had done prior. And also with Jerry Lewis, he always had a drink in his hand. So this is what makes this unique as the man, as the person. You will see in this picture, also Angie Dickerson. This was her first movie as well. She was not the first chosen in Rio Bravo. Raquel Welch was. And Raquel took another part in another movie. She didn't want to get that dirty. And they auditioned Angie, and that's how you can see the chemistry between one of the movies that Dean also did with Angie was Ocean's 11. And the chemistry comes out between Angie and Dean. And so it really does come out in real bravo with Dean. But with John really molded this picture. Ricky Nelson and Dean were very good friends. So this all came into play. Walter Brennan, he's been doing pictures. So it all was what they call a molded movie. Everybody was into place. Nobody fell out. One of the things that my uncle did tell me when all the actors and the actresses had their own trailers. And of course, Dean had Jim Beam and Jack delivered just about every week to his trailer. However, Dean did not drink on the set. John wouldn't allow it. He told Dean, he said, "We can drink after hours, but we're not going to do it while we're filming. That's not what the people wants to see. Besides, you're supposed to be sober in this picture." And Dean did what was asked of the Duke. Dean had coffee in his hand. He had water. He had soda. But he never would have Jim Beam or Jack in his hand until after 5 o'clock. And then they all would. It was a very, they did it for 220 days on the set. They had a 2-day party at the end. And it was a big party. But Dean was very, my Uncle Phil looked at Dean on a different side than just a singer. He also looked at how well his acting ability really did come out. So, when you watch Rio Bravo the next time you do, take a good hard look at the sets. These sets was barely built. There's a good reason why, because at the end, they blew a lot of this. So, they really didn't want anything fancy, which is what Uncle Phil did. It took him a month to put the sets up. And they made it to where they told John, because of John's build and his heaviness built, not to lean too hard against posts and stuff, because the whole thing could fall down on him. So to this day, that's one of my favorites, is Rio Bravo. I wish I was Angie Dickerson, because she got two leading men for the price of one. She got John and she got Dean. And everybody was gaga over both of them, but for her, she said it was a magical moment for her. So, go get you some coffee, have some tea, while I go refill my coffee, and I'll see you in 30 seconds. Okay, welcome back. Talking about, we just talked about in this last segment about Rio Bravo. Now let's talk about the other picture that Dean and John did, The Sons of Katie Elder. That movie there from the get-go was nothing but real fun. That one only took about 180 days to shoot. It was very hot out in Arizona, and parts, they also used parts of Colorado too, for some of the backdrop. And again, the four guys and the chemistry, the actors, this made it. Actress that was, we all called the leading one, she never would be in any other movie. She went on to play in TV, but the son of Katie the Elder, the main woman lead, where she did fall for John, but she knew they didn't want those two put the pair up. But it wasn't for a lack of trying. They just didn't have the chemistry. And it just didn't fit either. But Dean would also, him and John were inseparable. When they weren't on the set in front of the camera, they were also off the set. Just about, if you was looking for either one of them, they'd either be at their trailer, John's trailer, or Dean's. You'd find them if you was looking for them. Not many script changes. The fighting scene, my uncle said, that they did between the four brothers was all play acting. Nobody got hurt. It was not scripted. There was no stunt people. There was no none of that. It was just have fun for about 2.5 minutes. When you hear me say cut, that's it. And Dean and them had done stunts themselves. John had done so many. And the other two actors, they just went with it, and they promised to be easy. And but they had a lot of fun. And that is also one of the ones where my uncle got to see a lot of the set that was built, again, was barely put up. It took my uncle about a month to build that set, because they had to take it down once the picture was over with. So that's what made this all interesting movie, and that's the one where my uncle loved being a part of. Now I'd like to, after this brief pause, talk about the one and the only Red Buttons, about some of the movies that John made that really wasn't a Western. And coming up, we'll be talking about the movie Atari and the movie The Longest Day. So, see you in a few seconds. Okay, we're back. Now let's talk a little bit about Atari. As you all know, John had, at this point, this picture was made in 1968, I believe. This picture was made in Africa. And if you will see the credits where they thank the South African government for letting them film this movie and all that, they almost did not make this movie in Africa. And if it wasn't for John Wayne, the movie would have not been made. That's just how this is. They had problems from the get-go of trying to make the African government understand what was going on, why they wanted to make this picture, and that they weren't there to harm the animals. That was their biggest thing. They wanted to show the people back in the States on how they got the animals in the zoos. And today they still do this same way. Even though there is a lot of zoo animals that are bred into captivity, they still go out and they actually capture animals to put them in to the zoo so that they can breed. But they had called John, and John calls my Uncle Philip and said, would you fly with us to the South African government where we can tell them why we want to make this picture and assure them that nobody's going to get hurt. And so they got on the plane and they flew over. One of the things you also have to remember is that they didn't have many TVs like they do now. Back in the 60s, Africans, the only really TV you might find is in the motels, because a lot of people just did not have them in their homes like they do today and all that. The other problem that they ran into was, if we're gonna make the picture about tribes, how are we gonna get the extras? And it was actually John that said, well, if we're gonna make the picture in Africa, then let's just use the tribes from Africa in the picture. They're not going to see it once we film it. So if we can convince them on peaceful terms that we're there, let's just not script it. And not only if you will... When you look at Atari and you listen to Atari, you listen to the fact that John's giving you a history lesson of the African tribes. Something that probably historians and all that didn't have. So you got two for the price of one. You've got the film being filmed and telling its story, but you're also given history as to the African tribes. This tribe goes here and gets the water. This tribe goes here, builds the dams. This tribe goes here and John told you what they did. These tribes did not like them, but they did like John and them when it was all done and over with. All those people that you see around John and them was real. They were the real deal. Phil was worried and scared that they might end up in a boiling pot somewhere. I mean, they could have very easily if you made them mad. So you walked on eggshells. You was very careful. You was very polite. You smiled a lot. And they did get a couple of people that spoke African, their African dialect, to make them understand, what was going on and what they needed to do in order to make this go over. They only shot this scene one time. They got one shot at it. There was going to be no do-overs, no retakes, no nothing. So if it messed up or whatever, that's it. And it went off with one take. One of the funniest moments is of that movie is John and Red Buttons was very good friends. Red would go on to do The Longest Day with John. But he wanted somebody that was sort of a comedian, but he didn't want really it out there like Don Rickles. And Don did audition for it. It just didn't fit Don. It did Red. They auditioned Joy Bishop for Pockets as well. It just, Red just fit this. One of the letters that my Aunt Gloria got from my Uncle Phil is, because they was on this picture for a year and a half. That's how long it took to film this. He got a letter from Phil. She got a letter. And basically the letter says, "Hi, we're all doing fine, but I need you to do us a favor. We need you to find every flea collar they got in Los Angeles and send it to us. We are getting eaten up by sand fleas. And they're bad here. Especially during the daytime. We're having to wear them in our socks. But when we start sweating, the collars are no good." My aunt, she said, went to every store between Los Angeles and San Francisco and got and bought every flea collar. There wasn't a PetSmart or anything like that at the time. She went to over 100 stores and got almost 200 flea collars and sent them overnight to Uncle Phil. It took her about a month to get it done, but she got it. But one of the most funniest stories is that a lot of this was not scripted, especially where the baby goat and they got to get goats in order to feed the baby elephant. And it was not scripted. It was all ad-libbed between Red and John. They had this chemistry between them. And you will hear and see where Pockets is trying to milk the goat, and it turns out you'll hear John say, "Pockets, what are you doing?" And Red says, "I'm trying to milk this goat to get the milk." He said, "That's the wrong part of a goat and the wrong type. That's a ram." He said, "Hey, let me show you how it's done." So he, right next to that was a female goat. He was milking her. John did great. But it was not scripted that the elephant was supposed to let that screech. And when it did, John lost his balance. And of course, you see the scene where the milk is all over John. That was not supposed to have happened at all. It was a flub completely, and Red lost it. I mean, everybody in the director, producer, and film were all on the backside of it, trying not to laugh until they heard the director say cut. And John at first was not happy that he is covered in milk until he replayed it and figured out that's the funniest thing he'd ever heard. So, So they left it in. And of course, that is one of the most funniest scenes in the movie. And, you know, John had several, but that's a number one that would stick out with me is the goat scene from Hatari. John would later on go on and do The Longest Day. That picture had a lot of well-known people. They were, at the time that The Longest Day was made, there was a lot of well-known actors in that, and Red was one of them. And that's why I think that anybody could work with the Duke. That's true. But the man behind the camera also worked. He just wasn't in front of the camera acting. He also was your friend behind the scenes. They would rehearse it. They would practice it, whatever they needed to do. And John would give his input on what you should really say and when to say it, where to say it, how to say it, how to do it. And John really did enjoy his work. He put a lot of manpower into his pictures, not just from the acting point, but as far as the friendship goes. If you did a complete picture with the Duke, you were friends, very close friends at the end of this. From an acting standpoint, to the extras, to everybody, you were not just there. You was put there for a reason. And I think that's why a lot of people today that does not have the chemistry the way they have had back then when they were doing these pictures. Yes, there was a lot of people with the chemistry together. You take Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. They were made for each other. Just using that for example. But with John's pictures, his leading lady was always Maureen O'Hara. They clicked. John clicked with Angie Dickinson and Margaret, Dean, Red. So John was, you love John in a lot of ways. And of course, his family, and especially John, was very close to his kids. Very loving father. And it did show, especially when Michael and Patrick was on the sets, and they were in the movies together. They always had this bond between them that you just don't see today. You just don't see it. And that's why I tell people that everybody don't understand about John Wayne, and there's a lot of misconception about John and he's a racist and he was that. How can you call that man that? Somebody takes something out of context from what John says and has twisted it around. John, when he did Hatari, you want to tell me where in the world the racist and the hatred would be in that picture? You can't. Because John is the one that talked to the African government. John talked to the tribes. It was John, not the producers, the writers, or anybody else. John and his friends that made the picture is the reason why Hatari went through. And that's why that I would rather watch Hatari or Rio Bravo or John in any of his pictures today than a lot of the garbage they got right now out. Because you can tell, you can look at him, you can tell it. There was no racist in him. Not at all. What you see in front of the camera is a lot what you saw in the back of the camera. And that's a fact. And you just don't see that today at all. And we were talking earlier about Dane. Dane Martin, we all know, we've seen him. Go on YouTube. Watch in search. Search for it too in YouTube. Dane Martin and John Wayne. John talks about his daughter who was just born. And for 3.5 minutes, he talks about he wants her to know the Lord's Prayer, the Bible, and to respect our veterans and our soldiers, even though she didn't understand it. She expects her to honor them like he did them now. And that he wants us to look in the hereafter and know that he done good down below. And the first time that I heard John say that, tears came up to my eyes. Because if there's any man in the world that earned the respect and the honor and everything John got, he deserved. Yes, there is pictures John should have won Best Picture for. He should have won at least the Best Actor and the Shittest. I think Ron Howard should have gotten something because he also did very well. And look at Ron now. I mean, my Uncle Phil used to say that knowing the Duke is the way that I hope to God that I brought my kids up and my grandchildren up the way John brought his up. If I did do my job right, and I think I did do right, then I can honestly say it's because of the Duke, John Wayne. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a fine week. Y'all take care of yourselves. And as I always say, later, pilgrim.